it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be live for our next show, October 31st, Halloween style. Make your getaway plans this October. Between now and December, they've got all kinds of great specials, room rates, discounts, and, of course, Thanksgiving and Christmas celebrations. Go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And a great guy in Cape May County. He owns, of course, Mulligan's Shore Bar in Wildwood, along with his wife, Pam, and it's her birthday. Of course, Johnny Z and Pam, happy birthday to Pam. And we love Mulligan's, and we love you both. So have a great birthday, Pam. Enjoy it, all right? Let me welcome to the show two friends, one I saw in Wildwood and the other one I didn't. I don't know where Raquel was. We'll find out. Of course, I'm talking about the two women who are trying to make America hot again and, of course, making Jersey red again. Paula Scanlon and Raquel DeBono. Hello, my friends. How are you?
Hello, hello. My invite got lost in the mail last time, but I won't hold that against you.
I don't think
I invited you. I invited her to come. She was busy throwing a Make America Hot Again party the night before, and I had already departed to head down to Wildwood, so she did not have a ride, and that explains her absence. But she was busy hosting exactly what she does so well, Making America Hot Again, and I was really, really sad to unfortunately miss that event last week.
I'm just saying, you could have made Wildwood hot again, you know?
Well, you know, my bus driver left. The bus left without me, but I sent you a hat, Rich.
Where's my hat? I haven't gotten the hat. You keep
saying it takes 10 days. I'm not the U.S. mail services, you know? I don't know what happened over there.
I gave her your address, Rich, after you gave it to me, and I really hope it's right. And I was trying to tell him to check the address because I'm dyslexic and I cannot transcribe numbers and words, and he did not check. So there's a good chance I don't know where the hat is going. So if you are the lucky winner that gets Rich's Make America Hot Again hat, you're welcome. My dyslexia is yours. Is your gift currently?
All right. Well, if that happens, because of your dyslexia, Paula Scanlon, that's fine. Then I think you and Raquel have to come back to the Grand Hotel on Halloween, and you can dress up and you can make America hot again. You can just bring me a hat in person.
Of course, of course.
Okay, fine, fair. How'd the event go, by the way? Did you make America hot again the night before?
Yeah, honestly, there were a lot of young people, a lot of good-looking people. We hit our bar minimum, and I worked really hard on doing that. So that's
bar minimum.
I unfortunately couldn't make it to New Jersey the next day. But that's just one of my excuses.
Well, you'll be very happy to know that your friend Paula Scanlon did an outstanding job firing up the crowd. She spoke after I did, and I put everybody to sleep, and she woke them right up, and she did a great job. It was a great day. I mean, we really had enthusiasm on that day in Wildwood. And Paula, the poll today, Quinnipiac, 91% enthusiasm factor for Jack versus 86% for Mikey Sherrill. That enthusiasm gap, when you consider how close the last election was, that could make all the difference right there.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Mikey Sherrill, as many are calling Vanilla Harris, which at first I didn't quite understand it, but the more that I see her talk, I totally agree with that. And I think it's the perfect nickname. Same thing. Kamala Harris didn't really strike up people's interest last year. And I don't think Mikey Sherrill strikes up people's interest this year. I mean, no one's just really out there excited to vote for her. People don't like her. But with Jack, we're seeing excitement. We're seeing events that have huge turnout, like the one in Wildwood, like many other events. But also, even Democrats have come across and endorsed Jack as well. I mean, that's got to add to the enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think so. He had a couple of endorsements, including a mayor in North Bergen. Nick Sacco endorsed him. The mayor of Dover, who's a Democrat, another mayor in, I think it was Essex County, who backed him. Yeah, that matters big time. I think it really does. What do you think about, I don't know if you heard, John Fetterman was criticizing the Democrat Party as being a bunch of extremists. I think for a lot of people who are Democrats, they're watching this play out nationally and they're saying, yeah, this party's freaking nuts. So gone are the days of this being a party that was, I don't know, your grandparents' party, in your guys' case, where you had people looking to work with Republicans on both sides. Fetterman says these things, and now they want to primary the guy.
I mean, that's what we're seeing with the Democrat Party. And again, John Fetterman is someone, at first when he was running, I was like, oh gosh. But for some reason, having a brain injury somehow made him smarter. And he really is that person who is just a common sense Democrat that I continually respect. I think there's a lot of viewpoints and things he votes for that I don't necessarily agree with. But he is throwing these common sense lines out. And he's talking about the fact that leftists have alienated their family members and told them to not talk to people based on their viewpoints. And what I'll say is I've never once cut out a family member or a friend for their political viewpoints, but I can't say that I've been treated the same way. And so that's a position that we're in this country. And Fetterman did call that out. And for that, I'm grateful for him doing that. But I do worry for his sake. And I assume the Democrats will want someone more radical in there. And so I hope for him that they keep him around on the Democrat Party because they need a voice of reason like him.
Yeah, he votes like a Democrat on issues that are very important to you, Paula Scanlon. I mean, you led the fight at the University of Penn for women's rights in sports, and you had to compete against a dude. And when John Fetterman had the chance to vote on the issue, he still sided with the Democrats on that. So he does talk a good game, I'll give him that. But he still kind of votes with them whenever he has the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, that's not everything I agree with him, but I hope they take reason from him. And also, I know that the recent government shutdown, Fetterman said that having the government shut down is not an effective thing. And he voted across the aisle away from his party on that, too. And so that those types of votes I do respect. And yes, I am disappointed. I actually had a little bit of hope back when they were doing the women's sports bill that he might vote the other way. But unfortunately, he voted with the Democrats on that one.
Now, Raquel, let me ask you about when you go to these Make America Hot Again events that you are leading right now. You're leading the charge doing that, which I think is fantastic. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy from Yorktown Heights, she says right now that the Republicans are radicalizing young men and MAGA is radicalizing young men. So the question I'll ask you is, the young men that you see at these events, are they radicals? And if so, how are they radical?
I mean, the most radical thing they do is buy me a drink. But if that's radical behavior, I mean, bring back the radicals in that sense. I mean, they say please, they say thank you, they have manners. Apparently, that's radical. They don't. I don't touch a door. I have a rule that I don't touch a door. It's like a test because a liberal will let the door slam in your face. You know what I mean? Mm. But a young man who was, you know, trained correctly or brought up correctly will hold the door open. And if that's radical behavior, then I guess we live in a really radical world. Or somebody's buying AOC a drink.
Wait, say that again?
Or someone needs to buy AOC a drink.
Well, that's probably very, very true. I mean, she was a bartender, though, so she could probably make her own, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Her resume
Paula,
is
chivalry not dead among the guys that you see at these Make America Hot Again events?
No, I don't think it is. I think we have a lot of wonderful men, again, like Raquel said, that have good manners. Every time I go to one of Raquel's events, I think we have a good time. I'm so sad. Every single time I have to miss one, I feel like I'm being left out. I have FOMO for not being there. And so, yeah, but it's not even just that. There's so many people from so many different backgrounds. I mean, they probably are trying to paint it as like a white supremacy party. But Raquel can speak to the number of different people from different backgrounds, different jobs, different everything that want to come to these events just because they're normal people and it's a good time.
That's why I invite Paula. She's my DEI hire. I have to make sure she gets in every photo so no one could call me racist.
I was going to say, that's probably why she's there, right? She's your, what did you call her last time?
My little one pun.
Rich, you said you were going to make shirts. That's what you told me last time. Guys, last time on air when Raquel called me my little wonton, Rich texted me and said, I'm going to put that on a shirt.
I like wontons, though. I like wontons. I like Chinese and Taiwanese food.
I love wontons. I don't know if I should be the one making the shirt, is all I'm going to say. But
Raquel can do it. She can sell it next to the hats that are being sold on her website. Where our favorite Cape May GOP leader bought one That was a big one.
Yeah, the question is, though, did Mike Donahue buy it with his own money or with the Cape May County Republicans money? Because that's I don't know the answer to that. Money. You're involved with Early Vote Action, Paula Scanlon. That group has been working really, really hard, along with NJ Chase, knocking on 500,000 doors, getting everybody registered to vote. Early in-person voting starts soon. Do you notice a difference in this election? Is it much more Pennsylvania 2024 versus New Jersey in a typical year, you think?
I think so. I mean, our early voting numbers have been huge. I think it's something that we've saw a huge increase since 2020. So obviously 2020, the COVID election, Democrats were voting early in masses. I mean, probably people's dead grandparents were also part of that collection of voters, but we're not going to get into that right now. But we've noticed that as a Republican Party, that if the left is going to use early voting, we must too. And we've encouraged people to early vote. 2024 was the first time I personally early voted because the Trump campaign was encouraging many of us to do that. It was talked about at rallies. And we've carried that on into the election here in New Jersey. And so we've had crazy turnout in early voting for Republicans already, and there's still a couple weeks left to be able to do that. And so I'm very optimistic about these numbers. I think we've outperformed the Democrats in many ways. In the level we've outperformed, I mean, we've already made up the gap that we lost the election in 2021. And so I'm excited to see that, but I think there's still going to be many people that vote on election day since it's a tradition. But again, yes, there's been a huge emphasis on early voting, and the numbers have so far been really, really great for the Republicans.
Paula Scanlon's with us, of course, the hero that you know from her bravery at UPenn. She's on X and all social media platforms at Paula Y. Scanlon. And Raquel DeBono, RAC is right, R-A-Q is right. She's with us right now as well here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. All right, I want to get your opinion on this. Two women, obviously, you both are. You identify that way, and I believe you really
are. How do you
know?
What if I changed this morning?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. I don't. I identify as a wonton. That I do know.
That should be on a shirt.
I identify as a wonton.
Yes.
We got a lot of merch here we're making. We got a lot of merch for Cape May, I'm telling you. As a woman, when you're asked the question, do you appreciate it when a crazy old man jumps in and answers for you? I want to play cut number 12 here. This happened at the CNN town hall last night when AOC was asked what I think is a very reasonable question by a very pro-Democrat reporter, if you can call her that, Caitlin Collins. And yet the crazy old man jumped in and answered for her. I believe we call that mansplaining. This is cut number 12.
But are you saying that Senator Schumer should not be worried about a primary challenge from you?
I mean, no.
Let me jump in on this one.
This is what we're talking about.
That's exactly what we're talking
about. This is what we're talking about.
You have a country that is falling apart. We had a housing crisis, a health care crisis, an education crisis, massive income and wealth inequality, a corrupt campaign finance system, and the media says, oh, you're going to run, what are you going to run for? Nobody cares. She'll run with what she wants.
Nobody cares.
It's the House Speaker and President Trump and the Vice President saying it.
Right.
Pardon?
Well, of course, they're saying it to deflect attention away from the real issue.
Exactly.
And here, let me tell you what the real issue is. Let's see if CNN talks about it. We're living in the richest country in the history of the world, right? All right, you tell me why we're the only nation.
All right, this goes on for like 5 minutes, so I don't have to torture you both with that. But I'm just curious, as a woman, how do you feel when you get asked a question and a crazy old man jumps in and answers for you?
I mean, maybe because she didn't, you know, her background is as a bartender. Maybe he thought she wasn't able to answer the question. I don't know. It's a little bit ridiculous. Her whole thing, this is what I don't get. AOC is like the picture of, oh, I'm a feminist, blah, blah, blah. But like, you're not acting like one. Maybe do like, you know, maybe step up to the plate. Maybe be like, excuse me.
I got this.
Yeah, I got this. I got this. Thanks. There's a nice way to say it. You can also say it in a little bit of a witchy way, if you will, but
well, that also looks good.
Working on the self-censorship, I'm proud.
Yeah, you see.
Well, she has to. She knows we'll dump her. We couldn't dump her at the Grand Hotel because we had a live audience there. But she knows that everyone's finger is on the dump button whenever Raquel is on. So, you know, she. But Paula, I mean, there is something to that, right? She was asked a legitimate question. Are you thinking about running? That's a legitimate question because everybody is saying right now that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her brand of lefty kookerism is running the show. And that's the reason why the government shut down. And so a lot of people want to know, like, are you going to challenge Chuck Schumer? Is Chuck Schumer afraid to reopen the government because he's afraid of you? I think it's a fair question.
I think it's a totally fair question, but I think honestly Bernie knows that he probably doesn't like the answer either, because he doesn't want AOC to be the future of the party. He's on his way out, and I don't know. I mean, that their allies being little Democrat Socialist Caucus out in D.C., but maybe behind the scenes, he secretly doesn't like her very much. And that is sort of what I read from that situation. I think I have many thoughts on Bernie, but I will say is he does have a level of maturity that AOC most certainly does not. And it's not because of their age or their gender. You can just tell in the way that he conducts himself that there's a manner of professionalism that AOC just does not have. And even in the response of the Charlie Kirk thing, I want to give Bernie a tiny bit of credit here. His response video to the Charlie Kirk situation a couple of weeks ago was actually very respectful, which is not what I can say about most of the Democrats. And so when I saw that, I did understand maybe that his age and whatever, there's a level of respect and, you know, just being a common, decent human person that he has that AOC doesn't seem to have.
Raquel, did you, I'm assuming you probably watched the Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony where the president gave the award to Charlie posthumously. Erica Kirk accepted. I thought her speech was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, every time we hear her speak, she really embodies that of like a powerful, strong woman. And I think we have to give Erica an immense amount of credit for being that strong. Like to speak like that in front of a group of people, you know, at the White House and talking about something so fragile. She was talking about her 6-year-old daughter, I think. And that part, I was holding back tears at that part. It was really sad. She was talking about what she wanted to tell her daddy. And she was like, he's on a business trip with Jesus. And I thought that was really, I got chills personally.
Yeah, that's a tough one to explain to kids. No doubt about that. I thought she handled that incredibly well. Paula, I was thinking about this in the context of the event we did have in Wildwood that Raquel blew us off for and didn't come. It did a great thing honoring Charlie that night with a candlelight vigil and also incredible speakers. And really amazed me is that everybody stayed until the end. Like, it was a long day in Wildwood. We got started at 4:00, but there was a pregame before that. But everybody stayed till the end. There were thousands of people there. I really think that Charlie's assassination, I mean, as horrible as it was, obviously, is definitely motivating people in a way. I hear it all the time. I'm sure you do as well. I hear people say that this has push them now in a way that they haven't been pushed in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there's people who are turning out to be more involved with political events because of this happening. I've said this many times, and Raquel could probably relate to this. I have friends that I've known what they believe politically, but they've never once publicly stated that online. Privately, they'll tell me that they support everything that I do, that they voted for Trump, but they've never once put anything on their public social media to ever acknowledge what they believe politically, and they were posting for Charlie Kirk. And that is something I never expected. It wasn't even the women's sports issue that I dealt with that most Americans agree with that ever got them to do that. No, it was actually the death of Charlie Kirk that got them to even admit somewhat what their political beliefs might be. And so I think that energy is sort of taken into the elections and taken into political activism. I gave a college campus speech a couple of weeks ago out in Wisconsin, and I have dinner with the kids who run the events, and a couple of them had actually just joined the club just 2 weeks before when Charlie had been killed, saying that they couldn't be silent anymore, that they wanted to be involved, they wanted to be part of bringing voices to campus, that they wanted to be part of political activism, that they were tired of hiding behind what they actually believed. And so I think a lot of that energy is going to be taken into elections. I think people will be more inclined to come out and vote, and people will be more inclined to attend political events. So yes, definitely. I think that energy has been a lot, but it still feels unreal, even though it's been several weeks now. I think it's one of those things where I still almost every day I'm like, did that actually happen? Or is this just like a really bad dream?
Raquel, are you seeing something similar with people who are now more willing to be outspoken publicly about their beliefs?
Yeah, I mean, I just got off a call with someone today who just joined the board of the Nashville Young Republican Club. And it was the same thing. She told me, she goes, after what happened with Charlie, I want to get more involved and I want to help. We were discussing doing some events in Nashville, and just a lot of people who have been apolitical in their normal life. I feel like that's how Paula and I gauge public discourse, like based on who's posting that is usually pretty apolitical or stays out of it and doesn't want to get involved. But the people posting were people who, in their normal life, they don't want to get involved. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to say anything they think will get them, you know, will be twisted. But those are the people who show that it made a difference, right? Like the apolitical friends were calling me saying, let's do an event in Nashville. Let's get the ball rolling. All of a sudden they want to be involved. And I think it speaks to, you know, the excitement that surrounds the Republican Party in general. And people are motivated to vote for people they believe in, right? Or people that get them excited and motivated and mobilize voters. People don't want to vote for people who don't get them excited. And, you know, as sad as it is that Charlie Kirk passed in the way he did, I mean, it did mobilize voters.
I want to go to Nashville. Nashville's a fun town. You guys ever
been? Nashville hot again.
Yeah, make Nashville hot again. Paul and I were just coming up with excuses to visit places we want to go.
I mean, Riley Gaines just had her baby. And so Raquel, this idea came up a couple of days ago. Raquel texted me, she, hey, what's your schedule and when can you possibly go to Nashville? And I said, anytime. I have a new baby to meet. So yeah, we'll make it happen. We'll be there. We'll let you guys know. Everyone should come to Nashville.
I'm pretty sure Nashville's already hot based on all the country singers that go there and, you know, try to make it big. But hey, it could always be hotter. Make Nashville hotter.
Nashville hotter. That's it. Actually, that's the slogan, right?
That's 100%. And we'll have some fried chicken too. You know, like we'll really get hot in there.
Oh, the hot chicken. Yeah. Oh, I like
hot
it.
Chicken.
I like the tie-in. Yeah. And we can do hot wontons.
Oh, yes. Hot wontons for Paula for diversity.
I didn't say that. You said that. Spicy hot wontons.
Yes. We have DEI on the table, too.
I don't think many Asian people live in Nashville, so I will be the probably.
The population will increase by one when you get there.
Yes.
You know, Paul, an easy way to get there would be just to have your Uncle Vin click his heels 3 times. And just get you there. Because those red shoes that he was wearing at the Wildwood rally the other day, man. Holy cow. I hope you busted his chops for that.
I wanted him to come on your radio show instead of me, but there was no interest.
No, there's no interest in that. No, everybody wants to hear from Paula Scanlon, not Vin. I'm the wrong Scanlon. I'm just saying. You know?
He was offended because somebody thought he was my dad. And I said,
why is that offensive?
He's my dad's brother. I mean, they should look alike.
Yeah, what's offensive about that? I mean, he could be your dad because he's your uncle.
I'd be offended that he was offended, Paula.
Vince, well, people on Twitter think he's my dad, too, because he's always comment. My dad is not online. My dad is actually not on the internet at all. I don't even think he knows how to text. The other day, he sent a text, and it was gibberish. There was no words in it. It was just like M-M-M-H-H-H-Q-Q. But my Uncle Vin, very, very tech savvy. They're a year and a half apart, and there's a big divide. And so he's interacting with my stuff on X. He's hyping me up, and people assume it's my dad, but my dad is nowhere on the internet.
So this is fun. So my wife, Bridget, works with Paula's aunt, and she's having a jewelry party soon. And we went there last year, and we didn't buy anything. And we didn't feel any pressure, which was good, because the wine was flowing. I will say your Uncle Vin was making sure that the glasses were not empty. Although I think that was kind of part of how they try to get you drunk at casinos, sort of the same thing. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on us to go to the jewelry party again this year. And I said to Bridget, you need to stress we are not buying anything, because I think the cheapest thing they had there might have been a $25,000 Rolex. I have to double check my math on that. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm also being reminded constantly of this jewelry party. So I will probably be there because I think I'm available this year. But yes, I'm hoping to not buy something. But if Raquel comes with me.
I'm an enabler. Well, we could probably do a GoFundMe to get you both some jewelry. I'm sure the Zioli Army would love to cough up some change for that. So, you know, just consider it.
And I love that idea. Who cares about taxes? I just need a $25,000 Rolex.
You just need a $25,000 necklace or something. You know?
Yeah, I just need something. Yeah,
I just need
money
something.
Money does buy happiness. It does.
It certainly puts a good down payment on happiness. I will tell you that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
It can't buy you happiness, but it can lease it. for a period of time, and that's kind of helpful. I've just found it out. Yeah. All right. Well, before I let you both go, is there any other updates you want to give us on the things you're working on and how people can find you and connect?
Well, I will say, if you're a listener in New Jersey and actually in Pennsylvania as well, please vote this November. You need to vote no on these judges for retention in Pennsylvania, and vote for Jack if you're a New Jersey listener. We need your vote. Every vote counts. But I will quickly segue to Raquel is hosting another party soon, and she can give you the information now.
Another America Hot Again party. Okay, let's go.
On the big election night, November 4th, if you're in New York City, we will be hosting a viewing party, and I'm getting a popcorn machine. So that's enough. That's my whole pitch.
I went to the election day one last year and had a great time, even though I was working during it.
I got a snow cone machine for that one. It's really like a big kid carnival at this point. I just get all the things I want. I'm like, okay, so it's election night, so we get to treat ourselves. We get snow cones, popcorn. It's a big carnival.
Why do I have a feeling that snow cone has vodka in it?
Honestly, that's a great idea. I didn't even think about that, but thank you so much for the suggestion. And red snow cones.
I'm here to help. No problem.
Great. It's a great idea.
I'd love to join. However, I will be working that night, obviously, in New Jersey, covering the election. But hopefully we'll have something to celebrate. Hopefully we'll see you both in Cape May for our Halloween party. And I love having you both on the show. We love hearing from you both. Follow Paula at Paula Y. Scanlon. Follow Raquel at Rack Is Right. Thanks, you two. Try not to get in any trouble, okay?
We're separated, so we can't be in trouble right now until she comes back.
All right, I'll see you at the jewelry party, Paula.
Sounds good.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Seoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right. Yes, the Grand Hotel, where we'll be October 31st for our Halloween party. So make sure you join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to talk about Emmons Roofing and Siding. So I was just actually before the show today talking to Krista. So Krista is going to be the lead design project consultant on the bathroom remodel that we're doing with the kids' bathroom. This bathroom is a freaking train wreck, and not just because my kids are filthy, but also because they are. I mean, obviously, you know, but also because it's a 1980s style bathroom. It's very outdated. Emmons is going to remodel it. Now, how do I know they're going to do a great job? Because they remodeled the bathroom in our old house, and they did a beautiful job. They come with ideas, because I don't have any creative ideas when it comes to this stuff. They provide ideas, and the work is done beautifully. And that's the key about Emmons, is that they pride themselves on their work. And you will love the work, whether it is a new roof. Something about the roof that you need to know with Emmons. There are a lot of roofing companies out there. A lot of them will take your money. They'll start the project and disappear. Sometimes they won't even start the project at all. And a lot of times you're getting roofing products that are made in China. But with Emmons, you're getting American-made roofing materials. The Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. And Emmons is platinum certified, which means that your roof will have a lifetime warranty on it, and that is transferable to the next owner. And they'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't. But if you do, make sure you use Emmons, because they are the Owens Corning Platinum Certified Contractor. How's that Jersey Shore house of yours doing? You probably want to check out the roof now before the weather really takes a turn. Emmons can do windows, Anderson windows, doors, siding, roofing. Your home will not only look more beautiful from the curb, but you'll have that protection and peace of mind that you want. I haven't even mentioned the best part. Best part is 10% off discount for each and every one of my listeners. Just tell them I sent you. Kitchen and bathroom remodeling? Absolutely. Emmons does that too. They are your one-stop contractor. So go to emmonsroofing.com and make a consultation. My friend Matt Kelly will make sure you are taken great care of. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Seoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday at the United States Supreme Court, they got into the whole issue of racially gerrymandered districts, and there was a lot of great exchanges back and forth, and then some ridiculously idiotic statements like Ketanji Brown Jackson suggesting that black people are disabled. Here to talk about it with us from the Heritage Foundation is Zach Smith, no relation to Jack Smith, even though the name kind of rhymes. Zach, thank you for joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on the show. And yes, absolutely no relation to Jack Smith. Let's make that very clear.
Yes, let's make that very clear, though. Actually, but on the subject of Jack Smith, though, I did see that Chairman Jim Jordan would like him to appear before his committee and talk about all these various political investigations that he launched. I mean, this guy is just, you know, leads the way in terms of weaponization of government. I'd like to hear that. Would you?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it. I suspect there would be a lot to talk about, probably more than they could fit into one congressional hearing. It'll be interesting to see what Jack Smith's lawyers respond with, whether he willingly appears, whether he tries to avoid appearing, testifying under oath. But we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Now, Zach, in your role as a senior legal fellow and manager of the Supreme Court Appellate Advocacy Program in the Heritage's Edwin R. Meese Center, you're the right person to talk about the case before the Supreme Court yesterday. So what's at issue right now as the media tries to spin it that the conservatives might be undoing decades of civil rights progress?
Yeah, so the case that the Supreme Court heard yesterday is a case called Louisiana versus Calais, and it involves the redistricting that Louisiana and several other states have taken part of over the past few years. Now, what's interesting here is that essentially those challenging Louisiana's congressional districts are saying that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act potentially violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment because, as it's been interpreted, the Voting Rights Act purports to require states to draw congressional districts, state legislative districts, on the basis of race. Now, stop and think about that for a minute, Rich. Treating people differently, categorizing people solely based on their race, is not only morally wrong, the Supreme Court just recently said in the Students for Fair Admissions case that it's also unconstitutional and illegal, and yet this is how states are allocating individuals in order to vote. And so this is a very important issue. It's a very consequential issue the court is going to decide, and it will have big implications for the midterm elections and many elections to come.
I want to play for you a clip. This is Justice Sonia Sotomayor. This is cut number two. Her argument in favor of black congressional district. She was going back and forth with the solicitor, principal deputy solicitor general Hashim Mupan. Let's take a listen to this.
Reason to think that a racial group is being treated
here too. You have proof of that here.
No, you don't. What you have here is that Republicans and Democrats are different. There's no.
You have some that even white Republicans or white Democrats won't vote for black candidates.
Right, but if these were white Democrats, there's no reason to think they would have a second district. None. And so what is happening here is their argument is because these Democrats happen to be black, they get a second district. If they were all white, we all agree they wouldn't get a second district. That is literally the definition of race subordinating traditional principles.
Justice Kagan?
Now, break that down for us, Zach Smith, if you could, please.
Yeah, no, look, Hosh is a great lawyer. I think he turned Justice Sonia Sotomayor's point exactly against her. And look, his point is fundamentally this. If what states were doing were trying to carve out districts where white voters would intentionally be a majority so that white voters could elect only white candidates, we would all agree. Not only is that immoral, it's illegal under certain statutory provisions. We'd all agree it's also unconstitutional and yet change the races. And that's exactly what is happening. And I think Hasha's point was that if it's not okay to do it for individuals of one race, it's not okay to do it for individuals of any race. Treating people differently solely based on their race is fundamentally wrong and unconstitutional.
Now, this is the clip that probably got the most attention yesterday. Justice Ketanji Jackson, who essentially now compared black voters to disabled voters. It's a bizarre analogy. This is cut number three.
I'm thinking of it, of the fact that remedial action, absent discriminatory intent, is really not a new idea in the civil rights laws. And my kind of paradigmatic example of this is something like the ADA. Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act against the backdrop of a world that was generally not accessible to people with disabilities. And so it was discriminatory in effect because these folks were not able to access these buildings. And it didn't matter whether the person who built the building or the person who owned the building intended for them to be exclusionary. That's irrelevant. Congress said the facilities have to be made equally open to people with disabilities if readily possible. I guess I don't understand why that's not what's happening here. The idea in Section 2 is that we are responding to current day manifestations of past and present decisions that disadvantage minorities and make it so that they don't have equal access to the voting system, right? They're disabled. In fact, we use the word disabled in Milligan. We say that's a way in which you see that these processes are not equally open.
Zach, am I missing something? Are black voters not able to access the voting places?
No, you're not missing anything, Rich. And in fact, if you look at turnout among black voters, among all voters in many of the states during the last election cycle, you'll actually see that voter turnout was up significantly, even when common sense election integrity measures like voter ID were put in place. So this analogy from Justice Jackson, it's a terrible analogy in the first place, but it really doesn't hold water when you dig in and start looking underneath the hood at the point she was trying to make. You know, one of the other interesting exchanges, I thought, was something that Justice Brett Kavanaugh said in the oral argument yesterday, kind of responding in a very polite way to the point Justice Jackson was trying to make. And he said that even if the Voting Rights Act was needed during the 1960s, during the 1970s, to remedy past specific instances of discrimination, like the Jim Crow laws and the South at the time, that the conditions on the ground today are very, very different than they were in the 1960s when the VRA was first passed. And so even if you could justify these extraordinary measures in the 1960s, 1970s, those conditions no longer exist on the ground to impose such drastic remedial measures that the Voting Rights Act requires.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I was making the point yesterday. I didn't make it as eloquently as Justice Kavanaugh did, but there may have been a time for it. It doesn't mean that that time is the year 2025. And we've acknowledged that with laws over time where we've said something that was a needed remedy in the past is no longer needed today because the problem has been remedied. And I guess, you know, a liberal justice would make the argument that if the remedy goes away, then things would go back. But I mean, that's ridiculous because I mean, to use the analogy of ADA, it's not like a store would not try to make their store as accommodating for everybody to be able to go there and buy things if the Americans with Disabilities Act were to go away tomorrow. It's not like they would try to make entrances smaller or do away with wheelchair ramps.
Well, here's the fundamental problem, Rich, and I think Justice Clarence Thomas has talked about this in the past. It's very demeaning. It's very degrading
yes.
to all Americans whenever people are treated differently based on their race. And it's very reductionist to think that everyone who is of a certain race or of a certain gender are going to think the same way, they're going to hold the same political beliefs, or even vote the same way. And yet, essentially, that's what the Voting Rights Act has assumed as it's been interpreted to require state legislators to essentially categorize voters based on race. And that's just a fundamentally flawed way to look at the world and to look at how legislatures should allocate congressional and other state legislative districts.
And the last point I'll make on this is let's not kid ourselves and pretend like this is not about gerrymandering districts to favor Democrats, because this is exactly how they've been using this.
Yeah, look, the Supreme Court has said that political gerrymandering is okay, racial gerrymandering is not, and yet that's why the Voting Rights Act, with its explicit requirement that legislatures take race into account, that's why there's always been this fundamental tension between how the courts have been interpreted the VRA and what the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution requires. Certainly, I think from, as you mentioned, a purely practical political standpoint, there's a lot of interest in these cases. A lot of states are going to be forced to redraw their congressional maps if the Supreme Court reinterprets the VRA or strikes down Section 2. And so stay tuned, because not only could this potentially shift the balance of power in the House of Representatives, shift the balance of power in Congress, but this is going to have enormous consequences for many years, many elections to come.
Zach Smith, Heritage Foundation, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Take care.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Something else I should mention, too, with regards to the news of the day, and I didn't have a chance to get into this with Zach, but the story is that John Bolton has been indicted, warmonger John Bolton, not for being a warmonger, but just for being John Bolton. The warmonger side of it is separate. But that story came out earlier in the show today. I'll get into that with you a little bit more in the next hour. But the story is that former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton has been indicted, and that news came out a short time ago. It's a federal grand jury in Maryland that indicted him on 18 counts of transmission of national defense information and 10 counts of retention of national defense information. Prosecutors wrote in the indictment that during the time he was national security advisor to President Trump, John Bolton shared more than 1,000 pages of information about his day-to-day activities with two unauthorized individuals. Both of those people were related to Bolton and didn't have the authority to access classified information. Printouts of diary entries were also found in Bolton's home, according to the indictment. He's expected to surrender himself tomorrow to authorities in Greenbelt, Maryland. His case was assigned to a judge who was appointed by Obama in 2014. The quote from the FBI Director Kash Patel: the FBI's investigation revealed that John Bolton allegedly transmitted top secret information using personal online accounts and retained such documents in his house in direct violation of federal laws. The case was based on meticulous work from dedicated career professionals at the FBI who followed the facts without fear or favor. Weaponization of justice will not be tolerated, and this FBI will stop at nothing to bring to justice anyone who threatens our national security. This is, of course, the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. If you've already had an estimate for a dental implant or other complex dental procedures, get a second opinion with my guy, Dr. Mike Veneria, veneriadental.com. Bolton has been under investigation for alleged unlawful handling of classified information. He becomes the third high-profile Trump political enemy to be indicted in less than a month. This phrasing, of course, from CNN, who just published a story a few moments ago. Quote, the underlying facts in the case were investigated. This is Bolton's lawyer saying this. Abby Lowell, who was also Hunter Biden's attorney, and resolved years ago. These charges stem from portions of Ambassador Bolton's personal diaries over his 45-year career. Records that are unclassified, shared only with his immediate family, and known to the FBI as far back as 2021. Like many public officials throughout history, Ambassador Bolton kept diaries. That is not a crime. We look forward to proving once again that Ambassador Bolton did not unlawfully share or store any information. He's accused of sharing highly classified information with his wife and daughter over email. Sources previously said that part of the Justice Department's investigation centers around notes he was making to himself in an AOL email account at times writing summaries of his activities like diary entries when he was working for President Trump. The FBI had seized multiple documents labeled secret, confidential, and classified, including some about weapons of mass destruction, according to court records. So that just came out. Again, it was a federal grand jury that indicted John Bolton, a federal grand jury in the state of Maryland. So there you go. The other story that we've been talking a lot about today, and I'll get more into in the fourth hour, is Jack Cittarelli. New poll out, Quinnipiac, showing that Jack has the enthusiasm edge over Mikey Sherrill in a big, big way. 91% versus 86%. Now, that may not seem that significant, but it matters. Because that 5% threshold in terms of enthusiasm could make the difference between Jack's voters getting out and Mikey Sherrill's voters getting out. In other words, if her voters are kind of lukewarm on her, if there's a problem that keeps them from voting, if they just don't feel like it, if they think she's got it in the bag, whatever, they're not going to be running over hot coals to vote for her is the bottom line. Whereas Jack's voters will, and I think her attacks on him, as ridiculous as they are, accusing him of mass murder, you know, related to his work in the pharmaceutical industry, are only going to ratchet up that enthusiasm for Jack, because her attacks are just, they're so over the top. And people are interpreting that correctly as a candidate who is in trouble. A candidate who's in trouble by then going just absolutely so low and attacking him on this point now of saying that because he did third-party marketing work for a pharmaceutical company, that he's responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of individuals. It's just idiotic. And then anyone associated with those pharmaceutical companies then would also be guilty by association. Now, in terms of mail voting returns as of today, Republicans hold a 40% rate of return. So that means that of all the ballots that Republicans have requested by mail, their return rate is, as of today, 40%. The Democrat rate of return is 39%. So the Democrats now lead by 130,000 votes in terms of the returns. But that pace is starting to slow down. Now, Quantas Insights has a good point on this. The projections show a modest firewall. Basically, like this. The Democrats have a point where if they can't hold that firewall and the Republicans surge on Election Day, which is where most Republicans vote on Election Day, if the Democrats can't maintain their firewall leading up to that with the return of mail voting and with early in-person voting, and then you combine that with the fact that the Republicans are doing better than ever, and then you combine that with the fact that most Republicans vote on Election Day, then that's really good news for Jack Cittarelli. Harris had a 400,000-plus firewall heading into Election Day in terms of the mail-in ballots that were returned. Trump closed the gap by carrying the Election Day vote and bringing the state within 6 points. So that is really good news for Jack Cittarelli going into this. If you look at it from that perspective and you say, okay, well, the Democrats are leading in this, you expect them to, but the gap is so close in terms of percentages and the Republicans still have a little bit of an advantage in that by about 1%, combine that with the surge of Republicans on Election Day because you're looking at Jack's, the enthusiasm around him, you can see that that could be very, very good news for Jack Cittarelli heading into heading into Election Day. So that's good news. All right. This is also really important stuff that I wanted to mention to you as well. Our friends at Tri-County Auto and the great deals that they have for you right now. The Drive Into Fall event at Tri-County Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Right now, you get a new 2025 Grand Cherokee L with 0% financing for 60 months. Or get a new 2026 Ram 1500, also available with 0% financing for 60 or 36 months. But you got to hurry in because these offers will not last long. These are great American cars from a great local family-owned dealership. The Kriegers are wonderful people, always standing up and doing the right thing for our veterans. In fact, it's how I met them, through their generosity of the Travis Manion Foundation. I had dinner with Brian and Cheryl, became friends with them, and I'm so deeply honored now that they are our official car sponsor for the show. It's also the perfect time to go online to Tri-County and see all the specials they have on my favorite car, the Jeep Wrangler. And they got some great specials on that as well. Go say hello to General Manager Jack Donaldson and his team. They are right on 422 in Limerick. Easy to get to from wherever you are. King of Prussia, Exton, Mainline, Collegeville, everywhere. Look for the gigantic American flag that's between the Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram dealer and the Tri-County Toyota dealer. And remember, more and more Toyotas are also being made right here in the United States of America right now. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.